good idea to start now, or should we wait?
Oh, it's so ready. I'm so ready.
All right.
Oh, my God. You say it. As soon as you say it.
3, 2, 1, now.
We're live. This is it. We're live. This is Loser Leaves Wrestling. This is the Woos and Whats of AEW Dynamite. We just finished watching AEW Dynamite. Now we're going to give you the best and worst of what we thought. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with...
Moa Jaswal.
Moet, how was your day?
Oh, my day was fantastic. It was great. I played The Last of Us, and I waited patiently all day to watch AEW Dynamite, and that's all I do now. I read John Adams, the book John Adams.
Oh!
About the man John Adams. Yeah, so this is what my life is like on unemployment. With nothing to do. How are you
today?
Oh,
wow, so great for you, Moet.
Oh, God.
Rub it in.
I'm trying
everything's fine. We're not going to discuss my day because that would just bring the negative energy in. We can't bring the negative energy in. We're all happy here. We're happy here. It's AEW Dynamite. We just finished watching. What did you think of the show, Mo? First-hand thoughts, right off the top of your head.
First-hand thoughts. I think I'm getting burnt out on AEW. I think I'm getting burnt out on their style of storytelling because there's still good stuff in this episode. I don't want to say it was... terrible, but I feel like I'm putting the blame on myself now of like it can't be the product because I love the product, so it has to be me. What else has changed, you know? So that's how
maybe we should do a switch to NXT on Tuesdays. Maybe we should move over just to see what they're like.
I've been thinking that now that it's on Tuesdays, it's easier for us to watch it because we had to, you know, watch Dynamite. I'm excited. I haven't enjoyed the clips and things I've seen of NXT because I can't get into the Thunderdome. Yeah. I don't even know if NXT is in the Thunderdome.
It's called Capital Wrestling Center or something
I had a feeling.
CWC?
I can't. It just feels too fake and dystopian. And, you know, it was a weird time this whole past year. So, like, I don't.
Yeah.
They tried something. I don't blame them. It just feels so awful with the fake crowd noise and stuff. I'm excited for, you know, once they can get a crowd back, it'll be way better, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, hopefully, AEW will get their act together because I'm feeling the same way. AEW is just feeling very jumbled, but let's talk about it a little bit. Let's talk about the woos and whats. The woos are the good things. Mo, what's your big woo of the evening?
I don't remember.
I'll go off. So I'll start off. Yeah. My biggest woo of the evening, and this is going to come as a shocker, the Young Bucks. Young Bucks did it for me today. I've never said that before in my life.
That's
I've never
huge.
Put the Young Bucks in a woo column, but their opening promo wasn't good, but they picked, they made a choice. They made a decision. Okay, we're going to be bad guys. Instead of waffling and being indecisive and being very frustrating with their lack of decision-making skills, they picked a side, they're bad guys, and then they had a match against Death Triangle, which was a pretty good match. Even though I'm confused as to how they're so drastically different as faces and heel, like it just like there's no gradual turn. Even though they're tweeners and they've always been on the middle of everything, they jumped into this heel persona pretty radically, where they're being like making fun of them, their old like taunts and their old like setups for moves. They're making fun of it. I don't know, but I thought it was a good match. What did you think, Moet?
Well, that's really interesting. So you were into all of that. Because that's something I'm like kind of on the fence
about. I wasn't
into
it.
Oh, yeah?
I'm into them picking a side. That was my big woo. Is that, oh, they're heels and they're going to be heels. Thank God they just did a thing without flip-flopping.
Because, yeah, I'm like, that's the part of the AEW I'm burnt out on. Is like trying to keep up with the storylines and being like, that doesn't connect to what you've been doing this entire time. Like the, you know, they last week they looked so conflicted about whether they made the right choice, and this week they just 180 and are like 100% into this heel persona. So like I'm frustrated by that, but I also like them more as heels, and
I like them a lot more.
So I think I feel like it's just a thing I'm gonna have to ignore for like another couple weeks, and then we'll just get used to this new Young Bucks thing, and they won't do the stupid like conflicted expressions and stuff. So yeah,
I wonder if it's just us, Moet. Is it just us?
I feel crazy.
So I'm
checking the Reddit Squared Circle Reddit, and everyone loved it. So I just feel like such
really?
A like Yeah,
you're like, oh, what a fucking awesome show. And that main event, the twists and turns.
Well, no, they're just really, I only checked for the Young Bucks because I was like, I'm so behind. I just need my own opinions on this, you know, because they love the PWG, the Young Bucks. And this was like a return to PWG Young Buck era.
Okay.
Like it was a really ridiculous camera angle where they did from the turnbuckle where Matt Jackson did his like five flips and then back rake, flippy back rake. Yeah. Which I love, but the camera angle was awful. And then that, you know, because you couldn't see it. You couldn't see what was happening. And, you know, on Reddit, they're like, that was an incredible camera angle. I'm like, I'm just so old and different.
No, I think it's, I think you're a filmmaker, Mowat.
Yeah, that's filmmaker. What I am. It's not dynamic enough.
If it's between this, where they're completely missing camera angles to show exactly what's going on, or in WB, where they're just jumping to cut, to cut, to cut, enough to make Lance Storm dizzy.
So sad. Did you hear about Lance Storm? Lance Storm, yeah.
made Lance Storm dizzy.
You can't, who does that? You don't make Lance Storm dizzy.
You never put
me. Shame on you.
Shame on you. Mo, was this in your woos?
Was it? No, it wasn't really. I did like that the Young Bucks are making a choice the way, like you said it. Redley 697 says, make Lance dizzy.
Get out of here, Redley 697.
It was pretty
good.
You're
being silly. Thank you so much for your patronage, Redley 697. But what's your biggest woo? Do you have a big woo?
The thing, I was so excited for Chris Statlander. I thought her intro back was great. I don't remember who she was wrestling against. I guess the jobber.
I honestly forgot too. It was just a jobber. But Chris Statlander's back, and she had a nice little match to show off what she could do. Remind us what she could do. And she had a pretty big squash match. A pretty nice little squash. And then the best friends came in. They all did their pal around being best friends, which was sweet. I like that. I like when they're being friendly. I don't know. That's good.
And I like that. I'm a big fan of the Chris Statlander having the Pixies theme song.
Yeah,
not theme song, but they're, you know, the best friends song.
Yeah, the big collective song.
Yeah, no, and it was just good seeing her again. She was one of my favorites when AEW started, so I'm glad that, you know, she's fully healed. It looked like she got better, like something, like she just seemed more confident, or I guess just generally comfortable with the whole like nose boop. Like I was really into the nose boops this time, whereas a year ago I'm like, what are you doing? This is so dumb. But I don't know. It made me laugh. So I'm excited. I think it's really good that she's teaming up with them and, you know, getting more screen time, hopefully. So,
and Mowat, we had two women's matches.
Yeah.
And a promo for next week, I think next week, with Ty Conte and who is it?
Sheeta.
Sheeta.
Yeah, a championship match.
There was a lot of, but more women's coverage, women's wrestling coverage during this episode. But I did want to segue from your woo to the next woo, which is the other women's match, Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet.
Yeah.
Was that in your woos?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great one.
That was Jade Cargill. Boy, has she done a 180 in my book of what I enjoying seeing her on camera, right?
So you didn't like her for the Shaq? I don't remember. Did you like the Shaq match, what she did
It wasn't fair to her. It wasn't fair to her. She is not. It was Cody. It was an uncomfortable match to put a beginner in, or put a newer person in. And it was an uncomfortable match to put, like, you have a huge celebrity in your corner. No one's going to want to watch you wrestle. They're waiting for Shaq to get tagged in.
Right.
So it was an unfair spot to put her in. But since then, since that moment, the following week, she had a squash, and then she's had this little feud with Red Velvet, and she's super charismatic. I'm super pumped about her. Everything that she does looks good too, and she's a pretty imposing figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I think I was paying extra attention to her just because I was just curious to see any improvements. It's only been four matches, I think she said, said, which is insane. I think she was still like posing a little too much, like trying to sell like her ribs or her elbow or something, but also like still posing, but being like, oh, you know, but that's just so minor. Like, it doesn't, you know, her upside is so massive. Like, she's going to do so great. I can't wait. So yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I can't wait
to
see what she does. And I would love to see her versus Nyla Rose. Her versus Thunder Rosa would be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. What would Layla Hirsch do against her? How would Layla Hirsch, poor little Layla Hirsch, how would she climb around like a jungle gym? Can't wait for that to happen. What's your next woo of the evening? Do you have another big woo?
Not a big one, but similar, like Christian. Christian's promo I thought was solid.
Yeah.
Just solid. Mm-hmm. I think it made me more excited about to see him talk more. Like, I think that his first promo, or I think it was his first one backstage. I know we ragged on it. It was just super awkward. It just seemed like he wasn't used to like the unscripted format, or it just felt like he was rusty. But this one, He was very solid. It was good. Team Taz comes out.
I like Taz, the beatdown.
I thought the beatdown was great. Hobbs comes out and beats him down. It was Hobbs looked awesome. Hobbs looks a lot better. That's one thing I really enjoy about AEW, is watching all this new to air talent progress every week. Hobbs has gotten so much better since he debuted. So
I like his sneer, I like his swagger. He's doing a lot with that. And it was a fun beatdown. And some of the jabs with Christian and Taz were real fun. He's like, good thing you're standing on three steps so we could see eye to eye.
It was good.
That was good.
Taz called him a shitbag. I thought that was funny.
I love how he makes fun of him, like a pretty well thought, crafted little zing, and he's just like, yeah, you shitbag, I'm gonna eat your ass, you piece of trash man. When he was saying that he offered him a spot on Team Taz, and Taz is just like, I offered you a spot on Team Taz and you blew me. You blew me off.
Did he say no? He did not.
Yeah, he did.
He wow, did. I missed that. That's very homoerotic.
It was great. That's I had a blast. I had a blast. Yeah. But yeah, great job, Christian. Great job, Team Taz, and great job, Powerhouse Hobbs. One woo that I had. Mm-hmm. Did you happen to check out the MJF and Mike Tyson promo?
Yeah, start of the night. Where he eats a check that MJF tries to give him, an open check.
So MJF, so Mike Tyson's being interviewed backstage, and MJF comes up. He's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's trying to be all fun and suave. And he kind of makes fun of his face tattoo, which is pretty fun. But he's just like, you're the outside enforcer for this match. Gives him a blank check. And Mike Tyson fumbles a little bit with the crumbling aspect and shoves it in his mouth and spits it out at MJF. And a very I thought it was a fun little promo, and I was happy to see Mike Tyson having fun.
That was a lot of fun for me too. Tyson is still super intense, a very intense dude, but he looked like he was having fun and playing into his character, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he recognizes, he has some self-awareness about himself now, where he knows that he's obviously a scary figure, but also he's a silly figure as well.
Yeah.
And he recognizes that. I'm sure he has to with Mike Tyson Mysteries on Cartoon Network,
Adult Swim,
and such.
Did you mention the face tattoo insult that MJF did? I thought that was incredible. Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Yeah,
you've made mistakes in the past. As a matter of fact, you're wearing one right now in your face.
I couldn't believe he said that to Tyson would eat him alive, you know?
Yeah.
So that's,
he would destroy him. He would absolutely destroy him.
Tyson was like comfortable enough. I mean, you know, clearly they had to have talked about it beforehand.
I don't think MJF
would
dick.
Never do that to Mike Tyson.
I hope not.
But that Tyson was cool enough to be like, yeah, make fun of this thing that's going to be on my face permanently for the rest of my life. Anyways.
Do you have any other woos?
Another quick promo, the Dark Order rehab promo with John Silver.
I completely forgot to write that down because I liked that one too.
It was quick. It was total fluff, you know, but it was so fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just John Silver trying to fix it. Just group rehab where they're just screaming at him to move his shoulder up slightly. Super funny.
Hangman Page hits him on the shoulder. He's just like, ow! What's the other shoulder? He's like, yeah, but this one hurts now too.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they're finding a way for John Silver to stay on screen. Keep this up. That's great.
And I'm honestly, like, these are the moments that I look forward to most with AEW, are the Hangman moments, the Dark Order moments. There's some people that I really look forward to seeing, and I know that they are going to be a bright point of the show. I'm just happy that they're doing something, and I'm really curious though of where this Hangman Page thing is going. And I don't know. I have no idea. It feels like sometimes it's stalled in the water and then it picks up steam again. It's weird the things that AEW chooses to take slow and methodically, you know?
Yeah. I think that they are stalling right now, which I think is totally fine. They're stalling for Omega, but that's my guess. I think Omega is just busy with the Young Bucks and this whole thing. And probably after the next pay-per-view or something, they'll get something going. Because I don't think Hangman, is he in a feud right now with anybody? He already finished up Matt Hardy, that whole thing. But the Dark Order is still feuding with them. Am I missing something?
No. He's just kind of in limbo right now. They're kind of enjoying the friendship between Dark Order and Hangman. I want to see Hangman go off the deep end again. I want to see him go off the deep end again, right when he's about to get a title shot. And then he, like, kind of too nervous and he drinks one night and he shows up to a match a little bit too much.
Sure.
And the Dark Order have to be like, yo, bro, we're going to have an intervention. And they should do the intervention of Hangman Page with the Dark Order.
I think so, but I'm glad he's happy, you know? Like, we've gone on this insane journey with him for, you know, multiple years now, really, if you've been following along with New Japan. So it's nice to see him finally happy for just a brief period of time where he's not tormented by something, whether it's like insecurity or you know, alcoholism or whatever, you know. So, I think the longer he stays happy, the more like heartbreaking it's going to be when all of his friends abandon him, which always happens because it's wrestling.
Which is exciting.
And it's life.
Yeah, it's
life. It's not life. That's
too
sad.
It's life, Moen. Everyone's going to leave us.
Oh, God. No, that's not what I meant.
Oh, I'm there right now, buddy. I'm right there with you.
Do you have any more moves? Red.
Moet.
Oh, boy.
Moet.
No, Red's gone. Moet. I'm hoping he comes back because this is going to be pretty awkward with just me because I don't know how to keep this going.
Can you hear me?
Well, Chica Marks, I'm glad that you're here. That's very exciting. Oh, there you go.
There we are.
Red, you abandoned me.
We're back
you abandoned me, man. I was panicking inside.
I was panicking. I was like, Moet. I wonder if it caught everything.
I wonder
if it caught us all individually. Poor connection. Switch to audio only. No, hell no. Now I'm good again. Excellent.
I was saying how I hope you would come back because I didn't know what to do. And Red Lee 697 said, I hope he doesn't come back, basically.
Oh, get out of here, Red Lee. Thank you all so much. And make sure to listen to the podcast. It's Loser Lee's Wrestling on all major podcasts. And also send your mailbag. Send your emails to the Mailman Moet mailbag.
Thank you. It's called
loserleespod@gmail.com. Make sure to send all your questions and stuff and let us know what you think about our poor connection issues. Moet, you have any more woos?
No, we can move on. Let's move on.
Because I've got some what's that I need to get out of my brain. Do you have a big what that you have pressing in your brain right now?
The ending, I guess. The whole last match, I guess.
Yeah.
That one's another one that's similar to the whole Young Bucks thing that we just talked about, where I think I might just be burnt out. So take that for what you will. I don't know. Because I think if I watch this, maybe, you know, a few months ago, I would have enjoyed the chaos of all these people running out and doing all this crazy stuff. But somehow it just didn't make any sense to me. I feel like they've done that too many times where they announce at the top that Matt Hardy versus Darby Allin. Matt Hardy had told his faction that they weren't allowed to come out or something like that.
Not coming out.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, that's interesting because Matt, his hips are like, you know, as strong as a baby's, you know, he's got baby hips, you know.
He does have a baby walk.
So,
when he gets up, he stands up like a baby. Like, legs go straight first, and then the rest of him.
Tragic. It's tragic.
It's
but also
sweet.
Cute. But, it's yeah, sweet. So the... but then they all run out. They all run out and fight, and then it just turns into just a parade of people running out to the point where I didn't... I lost track of why they were running out. In the, like, Dark Order, I'm like, okay, they still hate Matt Hardy for, you know, something that should have been settled. The one that I didn't get was, and then Sting came out, right? And that
to
was fine.
To help Darby Allin. So
I understood that.
Yeah.
Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky ran out very briefly.
I didn't understand that at all. That caught me off guard. I looked up from my screen and I just saw them there. I'm just like, what are they doing there? They were taking the camera away from Sting, who was about to do a double, for some reason, holding a double Scorpion Death Drop, just waiting. There's too much going on. Couldn't make sense of it.
Do you know why they were out there, though? Like, did they say something on Elevation or on Dark or something that I just missed?
It must have went right over my head because I didn't understand why they were there, what they were trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish. The idea that all of Matt Hardy's minions come out, even though we told them not to. I was just excited about this match. Mm-hmm. Like, I was excited to see Matt Hardy and Darby Allin in a street fight, you know? But they couldn't give that to us. They had to do all the schmas in the middle to the point where I literally forgot the match was still going on.
Yeah.
When Sting and Lance Archer were in the ring staring down each other, they literally forgot about the match. Everyone forgot about the match.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Sting even just like walked out super casually past the two guys fighting, past the camera and stuff. It was very awkward. I do enjoy everything that happened after everyone left. When went right back to Darby Allin and Matt Hardy, it was fine. You know, I like that they went backstage. I always get a kick out of seeing Tony Khan just kind of like frazzled, like holding onto his headset, you know, because that's what I would do if I was him. I would 100% act like I don't know what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah.
The ladder bit. Were you into any of that? I don't know.
I was into it. My criticism with it is if you're going to do a big spot, and they're gonna kick out of it, take your time doing the cover. You know, like when he jumped off and gave the double leg drop onto Darby Allin, he immediately covered him and he immediately kicked out.
Oh God. Yeah. I forgot about that part. Yeah. So let me see if I can remember he gets kicked in the nuts.
Yeah.
Or punched. I think he gets punched.
Yeah.
And then he gets, Matt's finisher, with his neck through a chair.
Yeah.
And then he goes backstage and gets the leg drop through the table, and he still kicks out.
It was immediate kick out. Like, it's just like, at least Matt should know better. You know, you do a big move, like, sell it for a little bit, because you just jumped off a ladder. You could sell it, you know, and, like, kind of get your bearings, and then you go for the cover. And then when he kicks out, it's just like, oh, you took too long to go for the pin. That's why he kicked out, you know? To give it some reasoning, like, you're not a weakling. It's just that you took too long to take the pin. That's the risk reward. The fact that he just went for it immediately really took me out of it. I sound like Jim Cornette. This is a Jim Cornette criticism.
I know. It's not fun. It's not fun.
I don't want to feel like Jim Cornette, Mowat.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch AEW and feel like Jim Cornette.
Yeah, but this is where we're at right now, you know?
This is where we're at right now. Yeah. You're dang right. My biggest what of the evening.
Tom Smith. Tom Smith says he should be selling it even more with those baby hips. Talk about Matt
with his baby hips. Thank you, Tom Smith. Thank you so much. He really should be selling it a little bit more with his baby hips. Maybe call attention to the baby hips. Maybe the announce team should be like, and he's got baby hips. He jumped off the top of the ladder. He's got baby hips. Sell the baby hips. You know?
You're right. Yeah, I would love to hear them scream that. That'd be
Thank you. Thank you, listener. My biggest what of the evening, but what was why Mike Tyson was doing anything at all. You know, he's supposed to be a ring enforcer, you know, and he's very scary. Nobody wants to mess with him.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell are there so many people coming out to the ring? The point of an outside enforcer is that he's the only one that's going to get involved. And that's the only thing that people really care about at this point. It's going to be Dax versus Jericho. They're having this match, and we're all waiting for Tyson to deck someone. And that should be right before the end of the match or right after. The Pinnacle and Inner Circle should not have come out at all. And there's this one moment in the match where Cash Wheeler does something. I think he hits Jericho, right? Mm-hmm. And then he gets down. And here comes Mike Tyson. He's about to go, winding up. And Sammy Guevara runs up and decks Cash Wheeler.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what are you doing, Sammy? This is Tyson's deal. And I'm upset that Tyson just didn't hit Sammy Guevara. I thought that would have been really cool. Like, he beats up Cash Wheeler, walks up to Mike Tyson. Tyson just decks him. Like, you don't mess with Mike Tyson at ringside. Mm-hmm. Give him some power, you know? And I felt like the whole Pinnacle comes out, and then on the whole Inner Circle, and there's a big brawl. Mike Tyson did nothing besides hit Cash Wheeler and a sea of other people.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, I think, every moment that he had was just kind of overshadowed by everybody else. So it's just a shame. Yeah. I feel like WWE would not have done that. I think
they would not have done
that. One good thing that they do is they really plan things out. Their big spots, the big moments. They would have made sure to cover it, or, you know, told Sammy not to do that or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So. And it's just simple logic. Like, it's like building up a movie. You have Mike Tyson do the big thing towards the end. You anticipate it the entire time, but he does it right before the end of the movie. Just like with the ladder match, the street fight with Darby Allin and Matt Hardy. If Sting's going to come out, have him come out, give him the bat, so that then he finishes the match. The fact that it went longer after that big schmoz in the middle was upsetting to me. You know, like, you distract us completely from the match so that any buildup that you did have is now gone because we're distracted by everything else. And now we're continuing in a match in progress, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bad storytelling. Bad storytelling. God damn it, Moa. Do you have any other what's? I'm pissed off.
I feel it. I was just letting you rant, man. Yeah, you're on a roll. Anthony Ogogo's debut was pretty disappointing. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. That's my third what really? Of the evening.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a bummer because we've been waiting. He was one of the, I think he was one of the first signings in AEW.
I think so.
Very early on, at least. Like, you know, and he, a former Olympic boxer. I don't know his credentials, honestly. But but he had the Olympic badge thing on him. What am I talking about? Things that I don't know about.
Former Olympic badge thing. Well, yeah, we don't know about his Olympic badge thing. Yeah. The thing is, like, for a guy to come out with all this, like, work that he's done, training, and he's kind of like the big part of their group. He's kind of like the staple member, right? Would you say?
Mm-hmm. Of this, the most high profile, I suppose. Yeah.
And he comes in and has this match with a jobber, and they stop it with a punch to the stomach. Moa?
Yeah, well, he's a boxer, and he's an Olympic boxer, so he's got the technique and stuff, you know? That's parts I can kind of... No, you're not. Moa, you're not going to let me.
AEW refs don't stop for interference, don't stop for tag ropes, don't stop for countouts. They don't call a match ever for any other thing. And this guy gets punched in the stomach, and the ref is just like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, actually...
Stop the fight!
I didn't even consider that. Actually, you're right. He didn't connect with me that he stopped. I was just like, oh, the match is over now. Fine. Whatever.
He didn't even pin him. At least if you punch him in the stomach and you go for a pin. But he didn't even pin him. The ref is just like, whoa, I've seen barbed wire bats to the eyeballs in a regular match, but this has gone too far.
Yeah. Like, my problem with it is I didn't learn anything about him. They really... You know, brought this first match up, you know, and he barely did anything. I don't know how he handles himself in the ring, anything to really, you know, to work with. So that's just a shame. I don't know. It's hard to really like tell where he's going to go or anything. We just didn't learn anything about him. So I'm still holding out hope for him, I suppose.
I'm holding out hope for him. I just want some consistency with these goddamn refs. They don't do countouts for outside. They don't call us. They don't stop you from the tag ropes. They don't do anything. They really do nothing. And then this ref takes a stand in this match. You hit him hard, and now he's in pain. Now he's hurt. Stupid.
It's ridiculous.
Do you have any other what's, Moet?
Real quick, Miro is just like completely moving on from Kip Sabian. He did a promo real quick.
So I missed some of this. What happened with this?
Real quick promo, like a video.
I saw some of promo, it, but I missed it. Yeah.
He essentially just said that how, Kip hasn't returned his phone calls or something, and that, he just wants to talk to him, but he said it like, I just want to talk to him. Why isn't he? So it's like, clearly he's mad because he's talking like this, you know, that's how you figure things out. So he's kind of insinuating that he wants to beat up Kip. And then he starts saying that, his dreams of being a champion in AEW won't be stopped by anyone. And then it did like a quick video thing, a montage. That's what a video thing is. All of the champions, like the tag champs, TNT title, world title. And he's like, if anyone has a title right now, watch out. And I thought that ending was cool.
Yeah.
But my issue is, they're just like, they're just moving on so quickly. Like, there wasn't really any setup. There was like a few minor things of them being annoyed at each other, but it just seems like they just rocketed it, you know. But that's kind of Miro's character. I don't know. I feel like I'm honestly
I'm honestly, like, I agree with you entirely. But my thing is, I'm just glad that he's done with all that.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
Because if they want to just brush it off completely, fine. You know, they brush off things, like, they add, like, this could have easily been solved with a small little storyline and a blow-off match where he just destroys Kip Sabian. Obviously, they don't care about Kip that much. He doesn't really do anything. Mm-hmm. He was just made to be Miro's buddy. And that's, they care about Miro, obviously. So, like, I'm glad, and I want that to continue. I'm glad they got rid of this nonsense. I'm glad they got rid of the nonsense so that we could see what Miro can do, even though I guess we kind of have seen it and we didn't really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What you just said, though, I'm just connecting it back to the Young Bucks. It's the exact same thing of, like, you know, I'm just glad that they're getting over wherever they just were into something more interesting, hopefully. Like just move
just
on.
Do just do the thing. Just do the thing. That's a simple improv thing. Just make a choice. Don't be in between. Just make a choice. And one, what the thing is, the AEW feels like bad improv. It feels like, no, I never said that. You're the dinosaur.
Yeah.
I was never a dinosaur. You know, you just said it. Like, I feel like there's a lot of knowing. You got a yes and.
For sure.
But that is that any other what's you got? More?
That's it for me, Red. That's it, yeah.
My God, excellent job. This has been Loserly's Wrestling. This has been the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. You can catch us every Wednesday after Dynamite, where we go over this this treacherous show. And thank you all so much for your comments. We believe in you, and we thank you for your help. Also make sure to check out our podcast, Loserly's Wrestling. It's on all the major podcast platforms. Make sure to check out our Instagram, Loserly's Wrestling, and check our Twitter, Loserly's Pod. Right, Moen?
Right.
Loserly's Pod. And also send us an email in that mailbag that with Moen we go over. It's at loserlyspod@gmail.com. But that's all the time we got today. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with...
This is Moen Chaswell.
Moen Chaswell, if you were a four-letter word, what would you be?
Oh, come on, that's not fuck.
Hell yeah, Moen's fuck. Oh, yeah, God. Sign off in the comments. Bye, thank you all so much.
Bye.
Have a great one.